Mizmar too. And this part of the Mizmar deals with David's basically the joy he has in his ability to control himself and not overreact to a difficult situation. Shaul was in hot pursuit, and David had the opportunity to eliminate Shaul, and he restrained himself, and he also had to restrain his men. He had to convince the people. On page 502. So David restrained himself, and David also he persuaded his people also not to kill Shaul. And David, as we learned last week, David was extremely. This is what it says in the pasuk. Nachal libi, lekim nachal libi, ashur v'azamera. Nachal means my heart is. We discussed some of the different translations. The word nachoin means my heart is prepared. Kavana, the targum means kavana. My heart is. How to get into the mitzudos? He didn't even want to translate it. Rashi translated it Nemon. Nemon imcha b'midas adim, v'nemon imcha b'midas rachmin. I am Nemon with you, Hashem. David says, I have confidence in you, I have faith in you. If you deal with me in midas din, noch libi in midas rachmin. Even though it does not say the word rachmin in this passage, it's a difficulty in Rashi's interpretation. It does not say here any remiss to the midah of rachamim. Yet it says, noch libi alokim, noch libi, we assume is rachamim. And then it concludes Ashida Va'azamera. We recap it. Yes, last week we learned really three translations for the word Elohim. Either Elohim means Midas Hadin, or it means we translated it as Zeloiran Elohim Nochoin Libi. That's how the Mitzudas seem to say. Back to the Mitzudas in Pasik Ches. Nochoin Libi Nochoin Livtoyach Belokim. Uchemoish Nochoin Libi Ken Yazoli. Okay, there's just a repetition. I'm referring back to the Radak. The Radak's Lashon of Korea. Elohim means David is speaking to Hashem. Look at the Radak, Pasuk 503. Nochon libi hakefel l'chazek. Umilas Elohim is Korea. Omar. David says, Elohim, I'm speaking to you, Hashem. Even though, afal pi shani nirdof tamid, even though I am continuously being pursued and my life is in danger, nevertheless, it doesn't matter. I have faith in you that you will save me, and the day will come when I will thank you, Hashem, for your salvation. So, Sachakol, and then with the Malbim, we're not going to review the Malbim, there are three translations of this pasuk. Either Elohim, the Radak first is, Elohim, Hashem, I say out to you, I speak to you, I call out to you, and I tell you, even though I'm in a lot of trouble, it's okay. Nochon libi, nochon libi. Repetition for emphasis. I have confidence in you that you will come to my rescue, and the day will come when Ashida v'azameira. Rashi, yeah. Exactly. But I'm just trying to emphasize the word Elohim. Three very different translations of Elohim. Either Elohim is, it is David's, he's addressing, Mr. So-and-so, please sit down and let's have a conversation. Elohim, he is calling out to Hashem and he's making a declaration. Hashem, I'm aware that I'm in a lot of trouble, but it doesn't bother me because I am Nochon Libi, Nochon Libi. He repeats the same words twice to indicate that he has full confidence in Hashem and Munda that he will save him.
How can he be so sure that he has enough zuchuyos that he deserves the help of Hashem?
Good question. How could he be, he has enough zuchuyos? I don't know. I don't know an answer. Good question. When does a person say everything's going to be good? Everything's going to be okay. You have to have a moon in Hashem. And when does a person say we're doomed? It's a
because we go back to what he's been saying in the past. You helped me in the past. I know you didn't help me now.
But maybe not anymore now.
You took care of me in the past.
You'll take care of me now. Look, there is this. You're touching upon in the piyut of Eila Eskira that we recite on Yom Kippur, the Asura Haruge Malchus. We don't elaborate upon this, and we don't elaborate upon this on Tisha B'Av, but on Yom Kippur, it's much more elaborate, at least according to Nusach Ashkenaz. And there, when they seized Rabbi Yishmael, or they got a sense that the Romans were going to kill all of the Talmidei Chachamim, the Asadik and Malchus, it says there, I believe it was Rabbi Yishmael said to the executioners, wait a minute, time out, I want to go to Shemayim and find out if this is for real. Right, remember that line? I'm going to say Hashem Hashem, I'm going to go all the way to Shemayim, and I'm going to go and have a conversation there with the Malachi Hashoreis and see if this gezeirah, this nonsense that you want to kill me and you want to kill all my friends, is this for real? And he goes to Shemayim and they say, yeah, it's taka gezeirah. And he comes back down and then he prepares to die. So the obvious question is, if he has such koyach to say the Shem Hashem and say, time out, don't shoot. There's a firing squad, right? Firing squad. All right, time out, don't shoot. I have to go to the Beis Akisei. I have to go, I have a phone call. I got to go have a consultation, I have a business meeting. What? They want to kill you. Time out. I have to go to Shemayim now and have a consultation if this is for real. If you're able to go to Shemayim, so you can run away from them. You can say, well, you can use the same Shem Hashem that you can say to go to Shemayim and have a consultation. You can say the Shem Hashem and obliterate all your enemies in 1 second. What's going on? What in the world is going on? So this is a very deep concept. This is a very deep thing. And this touched upon your question. And I saw this in more than one place to explain this concept. Is in this world, there are different types of gezeiros. And part of the difficulty in Golus is when there is trouble. When we know that there is, it's an ace tzara. There are different types of situations. Sometimes when there's an ace tzara, it's you can easily avoid it. It's like, you know, when the weather, it's cold, it's hot. What are you gonna say? There's a gzeira upon Klal Yisrael, upon the world. They have to freeze today. This is the way of the world. In the world, there are ups and downs. There are good times, there are bad times. Sometimes the market is good, the market is not good. Sometimes people are successful, the weather is good, the weather is not good. There's a natural way the world operates. Their crime rates go up, crime rates go down. If there's a time now when there's anti-Semitism, the goyim are making trouble, there are robberies, and there is that because in Shemayim, there's a gezeira on Klal Yisrael? Not necessarily. It's just the world is in a state of upheaval, and it's natural. There's a cycle. And then there are times when there's a gezeira on Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gezeira, a gezeira for whatever the reason we don't understand. Here, they're making trouble. This terrible anti-Semitism is after the Churban. It's 52 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. You would think we got enough already. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Millions of people were killed and were exiled. Enough! Now all of a sudden, they're throwing rocks at us. They're making trouble. So, and now they go and they seize some of the Talmidei Chachamim and it seems like they want to kill them. Wait a minute, what's going on over here? Is this just, you know, there's a cycle, there's some unrest, there's just some, if that's what the case is, it's nothing special, then we have Askonim that can work in the government and we can maybe bribe them a little bit. Or we can run away, or we can have our own IDF, or our own, you know, we have our own police force, Shemrim, Hatzalah. We'll pull out, you know, Klal, we're very resourceful. Klal Yisrael, they're very clever. Then, you know, we can dodge the bullet. But if this is a gezeira min hashamayim, there's nothing I can do. You can bring out all the askanim. You can bribe them with all the money in the world. You can run to the end of the earth. If this is a gezeira min hashamayim, then there's no escape.
They say by the story of Purim that they asked Mordechai or that they ask, how did Mordechai know that the Gezeira was not written in Dam?
How do you know?
How did he know? So someone came and told what the Talmud of the what was his name? The
It was written in wax, not in blood.
So he said, you're that for the word Liyovdom. Liyovdom is Lobidam.
Lobidam, very Lobidam. Nice. Love, so there's still hope.
So this the Talmud came to the Gra, and the Gra, he told the Gra this.
This is right. Lobidam, Loavdam, Lobidam.
So that's right. So the Gra said, the person who told you the story is the same one who told Mordechai.
Who told it? Eliyahu HaNavi.
Right.
Got it.
Very, wow, unbelievable.
Liyovdom.
Lobidam.
So it was written Liyovdom,
Lobidam. Dr. Bienstock, I think the answer to your question is that a person, certain time in the life, they get a sense. In a chanami, no one has enough schusim to get what everyone in this world gets, much, much more than what they deserve for good. But a person has a sense if this is a gzera min hashamayim. David obviously felt that it's not a gzera min hashamayim. It's not. And I can't escape. But to escape, I have to be smart. I have to be clever. Because a person, if you close your eyes and you walk across the street in the middle of traffic, you're gonna get killed. Okay, you have to go to the corner and wait for the light and hope for the best. You cross the street safely. Obviously, David had a sense that there's no gezeira min hashamayim, but yet I am in a matzav of sakana. So if I daven, even though I may not have enough merit, maybe you know there are complaints against me on shamayim, but it's easy. You can daven, you can have merit, you can do your hishtadlus, and you can get away to live another day. Eino chinami, but if you get a sense that, you know, there's a gezeira min hashamayim, then you're right. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do other than to accept the Holocaust. You know, obviously there was a very big debate, and it will go on forever and ever. People went to Gedolei Yisrael and they asked them, should we escape? Should we escape? What should we do? Should we run away? Should we not run away? There were complaints. How come the Rabbanim didn't tell the people to run away? Listen, no one knows the answer to anything. But it comes down in a world of hashkafa, in a world of hashkafa, to this issue. Is there a gezeira min hashamayim that this is going to happen whether you like it or not? It won't make a difference. Wherever you're going to run, they're going to get you. Or no, it's not. It's not for everyone. It's not. Maybe for Klal Yisrael on a whole, there's a gezeira, but not every single person has to be nichlal in this gezeira. So therefore, if you could escape. Okay, that's a very general, dangerous thing that I just said, which is probably not true the way I said it. But you're asking a very, very basic hashkafic question. Is over here, David, we're saying, I'm confident. Nochon libi alukim, nochon libi. You're right. What do you mean? What do you mean, nochon libi? You have a moon, everything's going to be okay. Who says it's going to be okay? How do you know it's going to be okay? A person that has a doctor says it's not going to be okay. So nochon libi, everything's going to be okay. What do you mean, everything's going to be okay? You're right. I don't know this. Obviously, it seems that there are times in life when that al derech hateva, there is a path out of the darkness. There is a path out of the darkness. David al pi derech hateva has a way to escape, but he has to be very smart, clever, and he needs merit. And in this instance, you're entitled to be mispalel, even if you don't have the full merit, to have emuna in Hashem. Help me get out of this mess. If it's mamish, a gezera min hashamayim, then you're right, then you're in a lot of trouble, then nothing is going to help you. A person has a certain sense of what the situation is. You see, everyone knows that. Yeah, you're presented in your life with different situations, and sometimes, even though the odds are against you, you know you can beat it. You know you can figure out a way to get out of this problem. And sometimes, even though the odds are, even though everything is stacked in your favor, You just know deep down inside, it is what it is. You know, every person, Hashem gives them a little insight, you know, a sixth sense. Again, insight of where they're holding, where they're holding. Okay, so...
Calm, one second.
His question, in some respect, I think at the moment that David defeated Goliath, David as a person begins to realize, God has put me here for a reason. If the miracle of me defeating Goliath is so great, then God has meaning for me for something. I don't know why, but God is watching over me. And he begins to live his life a little differently and a little more devil may care about a lot of things. In other words, he has real bitachon that things are going to go his way. If I defeated Goliath, somebody is taking care of me.
He has simonim.
Right.
Simonim ilsa.
Looking at things like that. I think a lot of us, we look back at our lives and see certain things, the directions that guided us to certain things, all were not by chance. It's like a lot of times what seems to be a coincidence is God's choice to remain anonymous. You know, a lot of times. It's just a test.
It's true.
Realize it.
I think you have a sense. A person. I think all comes down to is a person is connected. A person's neshama, Elokai neshama shana sata b'tari. When a person goes to sleep, modan lef nechem lechem shachazarta bi neshmasi bechemla rabba munasecha. When a person's neshama is connected to the upper world, and a person's neshama, every person has a sense. It's a natural thing. A person's neshama has a sense of where he's holding in life, where he's holding in emuna, where he's holding, and when there are difficult situations, you get a sense to a degree, and that sense will either naturally give you strength. Okay, we got a situation here, but we're going to get through it in flying colors. We just have to know what to do. And sometimes
it's not so simple.
It's not simple.
It says in the Torah, "Vayira Yaakov Mo'od." Why was he afraid? Hashem promised him.
Shema Yigroim Hachet. Rashi says, "Vayira Shema Yigroim Hachet." Yaakov survived, though. Yaakov survived. Yaakov, he knew what to do. He was afraid, but he knew what to do. He didn't say, "Okay, I'm going to get dressed in my tachrichin, lie down in the grave, and that's it. It's over." Yaakov Avinu didn't go and get put on tachrichin. Yaakov Avinu went out to fight. He had a battle plan. He had a battle plan. L'molchama, adoyroin, tefila.
It doesn't say David was afraid here. Yaakov was afraid. David seems so full of God.
Because he puts his life in the hand of God, so he's not afraid. Even whether it comes out good or bad, he's not afraid. Mm-hmm. He believes that God will... has a purpose for him, and this is what it is. Whatever happens, happens.
He has reason
to be right.
Okay, Rav Kalman wanted to say something. Rav Kalman, try to speak loud. Try to speak very loud, because we can't hear you so well.
Okay. He's speaking about Nachon Libi in the past.
Now, but there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do there. There's nothing you can do. You can't hear it over there. You'd not be able to hear it over there. Yeah.
He said, "Nachon libi ashira ba'azamera." Now, biyom hitzil Hashem oto mikaf kol oivav mikaf Shaul. Now he knows retroactively. I always trusted Hashem. Now I know that Hashem takes care of my enemy, and that's what he says here. Nachon libi always. Now, Nachon Libi Ashira Vazamera, I know, because you took care of my enemy. Biyom Yisir Hashem et Oto Mikav Kol Olvav Mikav Shaul, and he has a whole Shira. Like in Naval was the same thing. He wanted to kill Naval. Abigail says, don't do it. Hashem will take care of him. And he learned a lesson from that. And here he said, Nachon libi ashira vazamera. I know Hashem was with me before, and Hashem saved me with Mitzvah following.
Okay.
That's what the pasuk.
Retroactively, when the person witnesses one miracle, retroactively you realize there are many more miracles. It's true. When you see that Hashem gives you, does for you one miracle, it opens up your mind to recognize that in the past there were many miracles. That's why in Chanukah, and that's why many times when Chanukah, both Chanukah and Pesach, and Chanukah, when you say the Mo'osur about all the other miracles, it's not only about Chanukah. The Halach and Shulchan Aruch, when a person comes to a location where he experienced a miracle, he's obligated to make a bracha, she'osali nes b'makoyim hazeh. And if this person merited to have multiple miracles in his life, once he's obligated to thank Hashem for the miracle that took place in this location, he has to mention all of the other miracles that happened in all the other locations. Chanukah, when we talk about the Chanukah miracle, in the Mosul, we talk about all the other miracles. Pesach, Vahi b'chatzi halayla. Once we talk about the miracle of Pesach, what happened and had happened in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have to mention the whole Jewish history, all the miracles that took place b'chatzi halayla. So in Echanami, when you nochlan libi Hashem, nochlan libi Hashem, Ashiva Zameira, all of the past miracles. All right, let's go on to the next pasuk. Next is Ura. This is a very popular pasuk. Ura chevaydi Ura hanevel v'chinor o'ira shachar. Wake up. Okay, wake up. Ura, wake up. David HaMelech only slept for half an hour. What is that? This is a big sugya of the amount of 60 breaths of a horse. How long is that shiur? Shishin 60, how long is a breath of a horse? Good question. It's a big machlekes. By the way, how long is the breath of a person? Approximately 3 seconds. It's called a chelek. A chelek. You say by the smallest amount of time. What is it? 3 seconds? Chalok. I think a chelek is about 3 seconds. 3 seconds. The smallest unit of time in Judaism is a chelek. Not a second, not a minute, a chelek. A chelek is about 3 seconds. In the secular world, the smallest unit of time that we use often is a second. I know in the Olympics, they can break it down to 1/1000th of a second, okay? Okay, I don't know exactly how far they want to go break it down, but today with technology, you can break down time into teeny little amounts, but the human mind today in the world is accepted to use units of seconds. 1, 2, 3. But in Chazal, there's no such thing as a second. It's a chelek. A chelek is about 3 seconds. Why? We spoke about this. Why? Because that's the amount of time of a breath. A cycle of breathing is 3 seconds. Okay, the cycle of your heart pumping and your lungs inhaling and exhaling is approximately 3 seconds, which is the unit that Chazal used for the shortest amount of time. Why? Because that's how man was created. Vayibach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into man's nostrils a breath of life. So when man breathes, this is the smallest unit of time. So every time they bench Rosh Chodesh and they tell you when the Molad is going to be, and they break it down into Chalakim, the leftovers, the Chalakim, it's approximately 3 seconds. That is the amount of time a person, once Google this, did you get something in Google, they say 9 seconds, but it all depends on how you calculate. The different ways to calculate a cycle of breathing. It's accepted that it's approximately, it's true, it's approximately 3 seconds is the amount of time a person, a cycle of breath, and that's the smallest amount, so you have to wake up. So, Ura, how do we get into, so we talk about sleeping, a person's allowed to sleep, the breath of a horse. What is the cycle of breathing of a horse? Why don't we calculate the cycle of breathing of a human being? I don't know. Why did Chazal make this calculation of how long does a horse sleeps? They say approximately a half an hour. In any event, David went to sleep, and David said, Ura chavaydi, Ura, wake up. May my neshama wake up. Hanevel v'chinor or irashocha, the navel, the harp, the chinor, I know, the lyre, that's how you pronounce it, and the harp, may it wake up, may it arouse the shachar. We know the famous Chazal will read in a few moments that David positioned a harp in outdoors in a very specific position. He was an expert in the winds, in the blowing of the winds in the direction, and when the wind would blow in midnight, he was able to calculate exactly to predict when, in which direction the wind would blow at midnight, and he put his harp in that position, and when the wind blew, it caused the harp to play, to make noise, and that was his alarm clock. So David was the inventor of an alarm clock. David's alarm clock did not have a snooze button. Okay? There was no snooze button. It says, wake up, and that's it. He never went back to sleep. A snooze button, I always tell you, is kineged kol ha-Torah kulo. Because the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is Yiskaber Koari La'avoda Sabayr. It's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Yiskaber means wake up like a lion. Lions don't have snooze buttons. When you wake up, you wake up. That's it. When the time comes to wake up, Yiskaber Koari. The first thing a person does every morning, you press a snooze button, you're over on the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The first halacha. Violation of the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch when you press that snooze button. Yiskaber Koari?
That's not a good thing. Felines sleep approximately 21 hours a day.
Really? Yeah. Good point. Good point. You're making a very good point. You're saying good. Yiskaber Koari. Okay. But, how do you go to sleep, by the way? How do you go to sleep? So it's the way you go to sleep is, the way you wake up is you go to sleep with the kavana to wake up. Okay, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, what does it say by Bilam? It's a very beautiful word. It says by Bilam, let's get the pasuk.
What?
It says,
in case
college,
wake up.
Yeah,
but Chari is not so.
What
did
it say before that?
It takes me a minute to formulate. I'm soaking in my head.
What?
It's
a very beautiful part. Waking up. We're learning here today the sugya of waking up in the morning.
Someone wake me up?
Okay, here, the bracha is towards the end of the parasha. Korah shochav kari. Uchilavi miyikimenu. It says you lie down. Kora, to bend. Shochav, to lie down. Kari. Uchilavi, and like a lovey miyikimenu. But that's not the right pasuk though. Where's the pasuk of waking up? The pasuk of waking up, we have the pasuk of let's see. Hein, here it is. Hein avi. Okay, here's the hein am kilavi yakum. A nation kilavi yakum vichari yisnaso. Lo, here it is. Lo yishkav ad yoichal tere v'dam chalalim yishte. Okay, so I don't remember the exact drash, but the point of it is, how do you wake up? How do you wake up in the morning? So the truth is, the way you wake up is the way you go to sleep. And it's so true. If a person, okay, the day is over, I'm exhausted, I had enough already, go to sleep. Tomorrow is another day. And when you go to sleep, there is no plan for tomorrow. A lot of problems, we'll deal with it tomorrow. Right now, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I can't keep my eyes open, lie down, you plop, you go to sleep, the end. It's very hard to wake up. If you go to sleep with an attitude, it's time out, I just got to go to sleep, and you don't plan when you go to sleep for tomorrow, it's very hard to wake up. Because, oh no, now I got to wake up, I got to work on it. if a person, when he goes to sleep, I'm going to sleep with a plan. Okay, we have a lot to do, but the first thing we're going to do for tomorrow is to get, is to revive, is to we know refresh. If you go to sleep with a kavana to get up tomorrow, then you're very easy to get up, and that's what it means over here. The drasha something along the lines is. The drasha is somewhere along the lines of. Where was this pasuk again? Henam kilavi yokum. Here's the drasha. And behold, the Jewish people, they are a nation. Kilavi yokum. They wake up like a lion. V'chari yisnasa. Okay, a baby lion, an adult lion. Why? How do they have the koyach to do that? You know why? It's because lo yishkaf, they don't go to sleep ad yoichal teref v'dam chalalim yishtem. I don't remember, there's a better drash. I don't remember the drash. It's because the pasuk somewhere over here, they don't go to sleep until they have a plan for tomorrow. If you have a plan of action for tomorrow, then you're able to wake up. David, when he went to sleep, it was obvious he had a plan. He had a plan for tomorrow. It was only a necessity to go to sleep. It wasn't just, okay, day is over, go to sleep. Somehow tomorrow I'll wake up and we'll start again. There's a hefsek. You don't want that hefsek. You want to just continue where you're going and temporarily rest. So ura chavoydi ura. Chavoydi means the neshama. Chavoydi means my honor. But the word kavoid is one of the words that is used to describe the person neshama. Wake up. Hanevel v'chinor ura neshachar. The alarm clock, these musical instruments, when the wind blows on these strings, it produces sound, and that sound awakens the morning. The morning, at least for me. Let's see the Mitzvah stuff in the first Pasuk test. Pasuk says, Kivoydi, look, Kivoydi. Pasuk test says, Oz Adaber El Nishmasi. David says that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he saves me, when he brings me salvation, I will speak to my Neshama, and I will say the following, Ura Kivoydi. Ledaber b'shul wake up my neshama to speak b'shir v'ur hanev v'chinar l'nagin b'chem be'eis o'ir b'shachar. So he learns, I told you the drush, we'll see the l'kudish as in a second, but he says v'ura wake up hanev v'chinar l'nagin b'chem be'eis o'ir b'shachar l'hoydis b'hashem. And awaken, he puts the word ura, the second ura, together with the word hanev v'chinar. Okay, that's the question. The question over here is, the second ura, is the second ura connected to the word chivoydi, or is the second ura connected to the navel v'chinar? So I read it to you originally, ura chivoydi ura, period. There is a poetic repetition of the word ura, and in between the word ura is chivoydi, which means wake up. It's an expression, it's a poetic expression. David is addressing his neshama and telling his neshama it's time to wake up. And then the pasuk says, "Hanevel v'chinar o'ira shochar." My alarm clock is the navel and the chinar. When those things begin to play because of the wind, it awakens the morning. It is a sign that the morning has awakened. The Mitzudas Tov does not learn the pasuk like that. He puts a period after the word kivoydi, ura kivoydi. Period. Wake up. My neshama, I'm addressing you and I'm demanding of you, the time has come for you to now wake up, period. What am I going to do when I wake up? I'm going to play music. Which is an expression to me, I'm going to sing to Hashem. I'm going to praise Hashem through musical instruments. Hanevel, ura, hanevel, v'chinar. I will awaken. When I wake up in the morning, I will awaken the navel and the chinar, which is a meaning I am going to play music. I'm going to sing to Hashem, thank Hashem, and serve Hashem through music and all of the symbolism and the metaphor that it represents. Ira shachar, and then we have a third expression, the Mitzvah stuff, it says, Lahoydis Lashem, I will arouse the morning with giving thanks to Hashem. It's almost as if you have to add those words into the pasuk. This is what it says over here in the Mitzvah stuff. Rashi says, pasuk yitetes uik modi v'loy v'loy ishan ashal ad shalosh shois bichvoidi kishar mulach. Now we know that Kriya Shema, you can say Kriya Shema until the end of Shozmanios 3 hours. Why? Because kings were lazy and they slept late. They slept until 9 o'clock. 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9. That was the standard time a melech would wake up in the morning. At 9 o'clock in the morning is when he would wake up.
Non-Jewish kings.
So David says, I'm not like these non-Jewish kings who have nothing to live for. They're lazy. They just want to enjoy life. I wake up in the morning. I wake up way before them. I wake up early in the morning. Ura chavaydi. And what is, again, and the point over here is, v'loy ishan, I'm not going to sleep ad shalosh shos bichvaydi, in my honor. So according to Rashi, the word bichvaydi does not mean my neshama. See, I'm so brainwashed from what we're used to learning in the Gemara and the other farshim that in my mind, kvaydi means l'man yizamercha chavoyd v'lo yidoyim Hashem Elokai li'olam oideka. Okay, so l'man yizamercha chavoyd means so that my neshama should always praise you. The word chavoyd very often in Tehillim means my neshama. And David is addressing his neshama and is making a demand, neshama, wake up. Rashi does not learn like that. The word chavoydi does not mean neshama, it means my honor. And he's saying, my honor, step aside. Ura means wake up, but it really in this context it means the honor that I'm entitled to. Being that I am a melech, I'm part of the league of kings. There are kings in this world, and the protocol that all of the kings in this world follow, and that they sleep until 9 o'clock. Ura kivoidi, the honor that I am entitled to enjoy as being a melech and sleeping until 9 o'clock, push that honor away. Remove that honor. Wake up. Wake up early in the morning and be moichel the kovoid that I'm entitled to sleep until 9 o'clock. Then he repeats, Ura hanevel v'chinar. So notice that Rashi in his Dibur HaMaskel, the Dibur HaMaskel is, as we always mention, is a perish on the Pasuk. The second Ura is not connected to the word kevoidi. The second Ura is part of the next statement. Ura hanevel v'chinar. Ha'ira oisi ato hanevel v'chinar. Hatolui al mitasi pasuach letzan hatsofin. Rashi Kedarkoi is drawing from the Medrash and is telling us that David, he hung a musical string instrument near his window, whatever it was, in a very precise location, calculating that that at exactly midnight the wind would blow on it in a certain direction and would cause it to make noise, and this utensil would awaken David. So he's saying, Ura, he's addressing the navel and the chinar, and he's telling them, you, musical instruments, Alexa, wake me up at 12 o'clock. He's talking, like, you see, David was ahead of his time. David had Alexa, had Siri, he had all of the modern technology, and he talks, okay, Google Assistant. He talks to them. He says, Alexa, wake me up at 12 a.m. Isn't that what it says over here? Ura hanevel v'chinar. The navel and the chinar. I make a request of you that you should start playing music at this specific time to wake me up. Ha'ira oisi ato you hanevel v'chinar hatoli al mitasi pasuch letzavat zafoyim to the other side. V'kevan shemagia chatzos laila ruach tzefoynis mena shaves boy, the northern wind would blow upon it. V'david oimet v'oisek batayra. Could you imagine if we were able to record the sound that it made at exactly 12 o'clock? What sound do you think it made? So he says, if a wind is blowing on a musical instrument, it just probably plays one key. No, not necessarily.
Depends how the wind.
So it's very, we Chazal tell us that Yabia, what does it say in the Pasuk? dar ledar. No. What does it say? The psukim and tilim say is that this world, as the world turns, it is singing a song. It is singing a song. If you can turn the wind into musical instruments, you would hear a melody. If you would be able to convert the waves of the sea to decipher the code of the waves of the sea. Is there an order? The waves, they come. How many seconds are there between a big wave, a small wave, up, down? There's a code. There is a song. The world is turning. As the world turns, the wind blows. The wind changes its direction. It changes the gust, the speed. There's music. When the waves move in the ocean, there's music. We don't know how to decipher the code of what they are communicating. In nature, there is song. You look in the sky, the stars, the earth is turning, and the stars, they're moving, at least from our perspective. That movement, if we were clever, we would know how to turn it into a melody. And would it not be amazing to hear the melody of Shemayim? A divine melody? A melody that's built into creation? It seems that David knew what he was doing. David was doing something very interesting. He's thinking over here a musical instrument, and he's positioning it against the wind. And the wind is causing the musical instrument to play. A melody. It has to be, it's a melody. Because if it wasn't a melody, he would not need to put a navel and a kinar. All he would need to put in the wind is a bell. Some type of object that would produce any coarse sound. The fact that he's putting in the wind a musical instrument, a navel and a kinar, that is capable of producing a complex arrangement of sounds in any configuration and order that would produce a beautiful melody, it has to be that David HaMelech, he put the kinar on the navel in such a way where there was a real melody. And this melody would be a bestseller. If we were able to go and record the melody, the chokhmah of David, of putting the navel and the kinar in a perfect position and adjusting the instrument in such a way to hear the music of Shemayim, that is dispatched to this world through wind at different times of the day to produce a sound. Could you imagine what that would be like? And we all know that music affects a person's neshama. When you hear a certain melody, they start singing Shoshanas Yaakov, it puts you in a certain Purim mood. When they start singing Eicha, it puts you in a different mood. There is obviously over here something extremely deep of David being able to tap into nature and to bring out a communication from nature through his musical instruments. This is what it says in Rashi. Rashi says, one time this Rashi, Uri Hanel Vechinar, Ha'ira Oisi, wake me up, Ata Yu Hanel Vechinar, Ha'tolib Al Mitasi, Pasuach Litzat Safoin, Vikavan Shemagia Chatzes Laila, Rach Safoinis Menasheves Bo, the northern wind would blow on it, Vidavid Oimed the Oisek Batoira. Now, next words of the Pasik, Ha'ira Shachar, Ani Me'oirer Es HaShachar, Ve'ein HaShachar Me'oirereini. I am the boss. I awaken the Shachar, and the Shachar does not awaken me. If you wake up late, is this really the real difference between different types of people? The people who are early risers, you see this, it's very true. People who wake up very early and are very in control, they don't have to wake up before dawn, but people that are very in control of waking up are very dominant people. And people who just, okay, they go to sleep, they wake up, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, one day I go to this minion, one day I go to that minion, one day come late, one day come early, just, you know, however I feel. They are being controlled by the day. Who is the boss? Do you control the day, or does the day control you? The simon to determine who is the boss is how do you wake up. The way you wake up in the morning speaks volumes about who you are. In Shidduchim, you want to go find out about a boy or a girl also, by the way, not only a boy, is how they wake up in the morning. You go and inquire about a boy. First thing you ask about a boy, in my book, people, you know, they ask at Shidduchim, what kind of boy is this boy? The first thing is, does the boy come to davening? Does the boy daven with a minion every day? Next, where does he daven? What time does he daven? A boy who comes every single day to an early minion, never misses a day, comes early to daven every single day to an early minion, 7 o'clock minion, 6:30 minion, grab him. This is a successful person. This is a Baal Musar. A boy, he has a reputation. All the time I hear this. A boy, oh, this was a London. Oh, what a London, a nice guy. Check into him. Yeah, he half the time, you know, he's in Landau's at 8:30, 9 o'clock. Sometimes he doesn't come to Landau's. Sometimes you see him. Oh, but he's a London. He's a chush of a family, this, that. Watch out. It's not a good thing. This is just basic, you know, basic life. Everyone who knows what I'm saying is true. It's these two words are the secret to life. The secret to life is O'ira Shachar. Rashi, what is O'ira Shachar? Ani me'oirer es ha-shachar ve'ein ha-shachar me'oireini. These two words and this Rashi is volumes and volumes of commentary about life can be found in these two words, defining people, defining person's whole hashkafa. You have a plan, you have a program, you have a purpose, then you are like David, you are a ira shachar. Person that unfortunately is depressed, doesn't have a plan, doesn't have a program, doesn't really know what he's doing with his life. Unfortunately, he's not going to fulfill the message of Aira Shachar. Okay, and also, you know, it's interesting. You know, girls are different. You know, girls, you don't hear this. You ever hear someone ask about a girl, what time does she wake up in the morning? On a shidduch, anyone ever ask that question? You never ever hear that question asked. Does the girl, what time does she wake up? It's interesting. This question is only asked by boys. It's not, but the truth is, it's not just for boys. It's every person, even a woman who will take care of her children, and will be on top of things, is a person who is o'ira shachar, is ani me'oirer es ha-shachar ve'ein ha-shachar me'oireini. This is a yesod in life. All right, now so we have basically a very big disagreement between Rashi and the Metzudas David. Major machlekes. According to Metzudas David, the word kivoidi means my neshama. David over here is making a demand of his neshama to wake up, and then he says that, and when I will wake up, okay, the second after me. Okay, let's say one thing at a time. First. Machlekes says, what does it mean kivaydi? According to the Mitzvah, the kivaydi means my neshama. According to Rashi, Rashi means my honor. I'm a melech. A melech has the entitlement of sleeping until 9 o'clock. Push that honor away. Push it away. Get to work. That's the first machlekes. The second machlekes is the next expression. When it says ura, Hanevel v'chinar. According to the Mitzvah Stavit, this is what I'm going to do. When I wake up, I will arouse the Nevel and the Chinar in playing music to Hashem. According to Rashi, it's just the opposite. The Nevel and the Chinar, they will wake me up. Which direction do you translate this expression? Do you translate it, I will arouse the navel and the chinar? Thus, if you take that approach, the navel and the chinar are metaphors for serving Hashem. Avodas Hashem is playing music. Torah is called a shira. V'ata kisvu lechem es hashira hazois. So, if Torah is called a song, and life, your service to Hashem is called a song, you're part of an orchestra, the Mitzudas Tava learns, Ura Hanevel V'chinar, after I wake up in the morning, I will go to work. My work is to arouse the navel and the chinar. The third part of the pasuk, and according to the Rashi, no such thing. According to Rashi, the words are to be translated in the opposite direction. David is addressing the navel and the chinar, and he's telling you, the navel and the chinar, you shall serve as my alarm clock. I will position you in a very precise location when it becomes midnight, when we reach the moment of Chatzos Laila, and the Ruach Tzefonis blows, it will cause the strings on this instrument to move and play music. Then we come to the next part of the pasuk, the third part of this pasuk, or Ira Shachar, according to the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos David, it's the continuation. It's not really a third part. It's really a continuation of part two. After I wake up, I will get to work by playing beautiful music, and through my beautiful music, I will arouse the morning. It's an expression. I will arouse the morning lohoidos lahashem. According to Rashi, Rashi says a very powerful musra, Ira Shachar. He's making a statement. He's making a statement that I will dominate. I will take control of. I will push aside. It's really, to a certain degree, going back on the beginning of the pasuk. I will push away my honor. I will wake up early in the morning and take control of the day. I will not allow the day to take control of me. I am the boss. The day is not the boss. Who is the boss over your day? Many people, unfortunately, find themselves always living a life where they just have to respond. Every day they are bombarded with problems. You get a telephone call. Okay, I got to deal with this. You get an invitation in the mail to Simcha. Okay, I have to write a reply card. Okay, I get a bill in the mail. I got to pay this. I have to go with a problem at work. I have an issue. I got to go to the doctor. Unfortunately, most of us, every single day, we're just responding to problems. There are things that are sent our way against our will, and we have no choice but to spend most of the day in response mode. I gotta respond to this, I gotta take care of this, gotta take care of this. And you don't have time to pursue your own goals, to be creative in being machadesh, in achieving, accomplishing your mission in life. It's a very big struggle. When a person finds himself that the entire day he's always in response mode, it's a problem. It's a problem which has to be dealt with, and that means that he's not fulfilling what it says here in this pasuk, Ani me'oyrer ha-shachar, ve'ein ha-shachar me'oyrereini. A person has to always be in control. I only told over the story 100 times already about this woman who was walking here to the shir in the morning a few days ago, 2 weeks ago, and there was a woman with this massively large dog, and I'm not a fan of dogs, and I moved to the side, and as I moved to the side, I heard her talking to the dog. The dog was pulling her in a certain direction, and she says to the dog, "Don't pull me. You are not the boss." She was telling her dog, "You are not the boss. I am the boss. Don't pull me." Okay, she was really serious, screaming at her dog. The truth is, we're all like that. When we walk down, when we go through the day, is the day pulling us or are we pulling the day? Who is taking the lead in guiding us through what happens to us during the day? Are we in control of the day or is the day in control of us? David, Oira Shochar, I'm the boss, not you. I wake up before you, before dawn. I'm up. I'm already working, planning, and guiding myself in accomplishing, achieving. I'm not limited by the time and the developments of the day. It's a very, very powerful Musa Haskel in this beautiful Rashi. Let's see over here what it's over here in the Mitzuda, in the Radak. Radak says, Ura Chivaydi, Kishe Toshiveni, when you Hashem, according to Radak, we're continuing over here saying, giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you. When you Hashem will save me from my enemies, specifically in this case, David, Ashir Lucha Bepeh Uchli, I will sing to you with a Bepeh, with my mouth, and I will sing with my lips and with musical instruments. The Oymer Lenavshi, Shehi HaKovoit. So right away we learn over here, the Rashi over here learns, the Radak learns like the Mitzudois. The word Kivoidi means my neshama. Ura, Lechaber Divrei Shir V'soida. I will speak to my neshama and demand that my neshama Lechaber, I guess, and this means to synthesize all of the beautiful things that are happening and to put everything together. And sing and concentrate and giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shevach V'Hoida, thank you for saving me from my problems. So look how he learns. At the time when I awaken the morning, I will say to the Nevel Nechinar, Derech Mashal Ura, Sheye Oiru Me'atzmam, Kishani A'oirer Eschem, Lezamer B'chol Shachar V'Shachar. Anyway, according to the Radak, it sounds like an expression. It doesn't sound like he's not saying over here the Radak something an idea like Rashi and the Mitzudos. He's saying just an expression that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings me salvation, I will thank Hashem, and I will also arouse the musical instruments to sing along with me. It sounds like more of an expression of, a poetic expression of, when you're in such a good mood, you want everyone to sing along with you. Person is in a very good mood, he's besimcha, he comes into shul, he's singing, and he starts dancing with other people. He just grabs someone. You know what happened to me? I won the lottery. Let's dance. And you grab your friend and you just start dancing. Excuse me, I didn't win the lottery. I'm not so happy. So you can sing yourself. What do you? No. Sing along with me. It's contagious. David HaMelech over here, according to the Radak over here, is saying is that when I come to Shmuel, you're going to bring for me salvation. I'm going to sing Ura Kivoidi. And I'm now going to tell them, all of my musical instruments, come, let's sing together. It's nothing more, according to Radak, than an expression of poetry, of expressing an extreme degree of joy in success. Oy perushai, another interpretation. Be'eshani al'ires atzmi mishinasi v'shachalot v'asas shimcha b'hem. Oy mulachem uru. Are you just saying that when I wake up myself, it's similar to what it said in the Mitzvah of Sava, when I wake up in the morning, then I'm going to thank Hashem. Let's look at the Mamre Chazal. Okay, I'm not going to dwell upon the Radak. We did the Rashi in the Mitzvahs in great detail. Let's look at the Mamre Chazal on the bottom of the page, page 503. On the bottom of the page. Uruch Vaidi, Uruch Hanev Vachina, Uruch Shachar. Amr Abba Achabar Bar Bizna, Amr Abba Shemin Mer Chasita. Kino Hoyet Holi, this is what we put in the Rashi. This is the Makar, what it said in Rashi. Chinar, there was a harp. Hoyet Holi, that was suspended. Lamala, Mimito, Say Shal David. The Kevin Shegia. Chatzois, Laila, Baruch Tzefainis, a northern wind, V'nashevesmo, Menagin Melev, and it would sing. Okay, David was able to bring forth music through nature. Miyad, Hayo'omid, he would stand, V'oisek Batoira, Asha'ola Amud Hashachar. Amar, Rav Yitzhak Barado, V'amri lo, Amar Rav Yitzhak Braid, Rav Idi, Micro, what's the source for this? this pasuk. Urach evaydi. Period. In other words, like Rashi. Rashi learned, push aside my honor. I'm not going to sleep until 9 o'clock. Instead, Ura hanevel v'chinar, let the navel and the chinar, let it wake me up. Let it play music, and the music will awaken me. Ira shachar, and when I wake up in the morning early, like Rashi, I will take control of the day. Now, by the way, it's very interesting is that experts will tell you, you don't need an alarm clock. Any psychologist we have over here today, Dennis Wilbur, Dr. Dennis Wilbur has joined us. I haven't seen him in a long time. So Baruch Hashem, we have over here, and he will tell us, I'm sure, he's a student of the mind. And I assume you will tell us is that if per person, constant, I've tried this and it works for me, if before you go to sleep, you say to yourself, okay, I want to wake up tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And you repeat it 10 times. You talk to yourself. Mind, remember, 6 o'clock, I have a biological clock. My mind knows what time it is. I don't need an alarm. I know I want to wake up exactly 6 o'clock. And you concentrate. And you give over a message to your subconscious mind. Don't forget, I will punish you if you let me down. And you give over a message to your subconscious mind, and guess what? At 6 o'clock, you wake up. Okay, it's not so complicated. The average person can do this, and it works. This is not a grace of chokhmah. So the question is, why then does anyone need an alarm clock? Okay, so you'll say because most of us are lazy, and we're not interested, whatever. But what, David is not lazy. David doesn't need an alarm clock. So, I mean, I don't know, there's got to be an answer to this question. This is a really basic, you know, sometimes we just get so brainwashed with what it says in Chazal, we forget about thinking about critically, to have a critical analysis of what it really says over here. David over here is inventing the alarm clock. He's positioning the harp, the lyre, on top of his bed in such a way when the wind blows at exactly 12 a.m., he wakes up. David, you need an alarm clock. Come on. If the average person today would just apply himself and tell his mind, at 12 o'clock, I want to wake up, certainly a holy, holy person like David HaMelech, who is a master of everything, of life, certainly does not need an alarm clock to wake him up when he wants to awaken. So why then are we so familiar with this Maimer Chazal that David invented the alarm clock? I don't have an answer. And it's a very disturbing, this to me is a very disturbing question. David doesn't need an alarm clock, he really doesn't. If David wants to wake up at 12 o'clock, b'diyuk, David can wake up at 12 o'clock. Because there are many people today in this room can do the same exact thing. So David certainly can wake up whenever he wants to wake up. So why then did David need an alarm clock?
I don't think you can do that if you're too tired to sit.
You could do it for 6 o'clock, not for 12 o'clock.
I don't know. Not so simple. I think people can do it.
Okay, all right.
You want to tell me that I'm wrong? Maybe. I've been wrong 99.999% of the time. But?
No, generally speaking, you develop a circadian rhythm.
You have a rhythm, right? And even, you know, okay. What's going on over here? David invented an alarm clock. David needs an alarm clock. My, what's going on over here? It has to be there's something a lot deeper here. It has to be maybe the alarm clock is not for David. Maybe it's for society. Maybe David over here is trying to have people imitate him. He's trying, listen, I wake up at 12 o'clock. Why don't you also wake up at 12 o'clock with me? And he's creating an alarm clock for society. Maybe it was very loud. Maybe the noise of this keener that he suspended on top of his bed woke up the whole Klal Yisrael. Woke up the whole neighborhood. Maybe woke up his wife. Maybe the purpose of this keener, it can't be that it was just to wake up David. It was to wake up society. Is to make them aware that the king has awakened. And if the king has awakened, maybe you also should wake up. It was a public announcement. It was his press secretary making a public, look, you know who's waking up right now? Everyone in Klal Yisrael, Brooklyn College. You hear the bells every hour? You hear the clock? Ding, right? If you really concentrate, you can hear the clock even from here, especially at night. If you really... You live next door. Don't you hear don't you hear it all the time?
Every quarter,
does those people complain there? Did they hear the noise every second?
Time we complained, they changed it now to electronic. Back 30 years ago, the mechanism slowed down on Rosh Hashanah, and no one was in the college, and they went, well,
the whole day. The whole day it was. You get used to it. You don't even hear it. After a couple of days, my father lived under the train tracks, New Utrecht. My father, I said, how in the world did you live here?
You hear it when it stops.
So I never heard it. I never heard the train. If you live under the train, you never hear the train. People make a chasna in the palace. It used to be the Royal, right? So whenever the train goes by, it's mamish under the train tracks. So you had a chuppah, and you know, they call up the Masada Kedushin, and the whole place shakes. Because the train goes over. So I think now they soundproofed it. To a degree, they soundproof that hall. But you ask the caterer, I can't make a howl. There's so much noise here. The caterer says, what are you talking about? I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything. I don't. You're so used to it. You hear it every second. You're so used to it. You don't hear anything. Any event, David over here, what is going on here? David over here is creating this kinar. Who is he creating the kinar for? For himself, it's very, very unlikely that he's creating this kinar for himself. He can wake up whenever he wants. It has to be the kinar is created, is calibrated to correspond to when he anyway will wake up, in order to send out a message for Klal Yisrael, your king has awakened. And there's a message. You should know that your king has awakened. He's working for you. He's not in Delaware on vacation. He's working for you, for your benefit, and maybe you should also imitate him and wake up early to serve Hashem. Or maybe he's trying somehow to be me'oyer, some type of, like we said before, to tap into the music of nature. Okay, the wind is blowing. He's not putting a bell. He's putting a complex musical instrument that's producing music. He's doing something to awaken, to show the world that when the day begins, there is music. There is some type of music. You know, it's very interesting that the world, the Minhag Olam today in the entire world, is Chatzos Laila is the beginning of a new day. In Halacha, the day begins, Ma'ariv, Tzei Sakar Chavim, there's Alois HaShachar. Chatzos Hayom is not called the beginning of a day, but it's not really true, it is. There is an element of Chatzos Laila as the beginning of the day. If David HaMelech, in other words, I'm trying to tell you, there are three dinim in a day. There's the halachic calendar day that begins with Tzeis HaKoychavim. There is Alois HaShachar. Dawn is also in the world of halacha called the day. And then Chatzos Laila is also the beginning of the day. It's when a person really wakes up. In ancient times, it seems that people went to sleep very early. They went to sleep not long after Tzeis HaKoychavim, and the Masmidim would wake up Chatzos, like David. And they began their day of Avodas Hashem Chatzos Laila. And, I mean, obviously, I have to have enough sleep, but Chatzos Laila is also considered, you learn from this Maimer Chazal, the beginning of the work day. And in the world today, the modern world today, I mean, it's etched in stone throughout the entire world. 12 a.m. is the beginning of a day. And you can't ignore that. I always have Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that's a very powerful story, where he, where someone said to him that they want to name a street after my father. Should I accept the honor and have a street named after my father? Now this was a real Haredi, greasy, very right-wing person, sort of, Chaim, what's the problem? So he says, a street, there's no makar in Chazal that if you want to give kavod to a person, you should name a street after a person. It's a mishigas. It's a mishigas. If you have a pasuk in the Torah, you'll show me a man Chazal that there's such a thing, a street, to name a street after a person. So if Chaim told him, what?
Name a
yeshiva. So where does it say to do that either? Where does it say to do that either? It doesn't say that either. So if Chaim told him a yesoid, and it's a very, is if in the Welt, it's choshev. If in the world, it's choshev to name a street after a person, it's choshev. Oh, but there's no pasuk in the Torah. There's no Mishnah. There's no Gemara. There's no Zohar. So there's no Gemara. So everything has to be in the Gemara. Everything, isn't it? Because I'm telling you, you'll find Haredim that will disagree with this. Rav Chaim says, so it's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Zohar. It's not a Pasuk. It's not a Mishnah. Tell me, in the Welt, is it Choshev? It is, the whole world. The whole world is such a phenomenon. You name a street after a person. If it's Choshev in the Welt, it's Choshev. Don't play it down. If in the Welt today, Chatzos Laila is the beginning of the day, it's not our Messiah, right? We, the halachic day begins, it begins Tseis HaKoychavim. But it's not the beginning of the day. We have only Chatzos HaLaila as all these different mystical Kabbalistic concepts, more or less. Oh, you just said a big word, start. You learn the Gemara, you can show numerous Mamari Chazal that Chatzos Laila is an auspicious time. But you would not necessarily say that it's the beginning. When you talk about in the world of halacha, it's an Ashmoris, it's not a beginning of the day. When we talk about Chatzos Laila in Chazal, it's an auspicious time. It's not typically described as the beginning. When we talk about the beginning of in the world of halacha, it's Tseis HaKoychavim is the beginning of the calendar day, the date, the halacha, the date changes, and there is Alois HaShachar, dawn. Chatzos, it's an auspicious time. It's a Kabbalistic time. Tikkun Chatzos, there's all these different inyanim, Kabbalistic concepts. This Gemara, this Pasuk that we learned today, and this Maimon Chazal that is a classic, teaches us that Chatzos Laila is the beginning of the day. Yes. And you don't need to go, if in the Welt it's Choshev, you don't even need to come on to that. It's a Gemara.
It's like we have a saying, it's the beginning of the end. It's not the end yet. It's the beginning of the
day. No, beginning of the day. Of the day. O ira hashochar. The shochar means the morning. It is Chatzos Laila. This Maimer Chazal is teaching us, based upon this pasuk, 12 a.m. indeed has a makar as the beginning of the day. There is a Tseis HaKoychavim. There is an Alois HaShachar, and there is Chatzos Laila. You wake up Chatzos Laila, you don't go back to sleep. Obviously, it means you're going to sleep a lot earlier. Obviously, you're going to be going to sleep. I don't know what time you're going to sleep, but you're going to sleep earlier after Tseis HaKoychavim. Theoretically, that's 6 o'clock. And you're going to sleep for whatever you're going to sleep for. And then the day begins. Chatzos, that's when you're, and in fact, it's even more chosh than all the other day, because that's when your avodas Hashem begins. You wake up, 12 o'clock. I had a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin, he Baruch Hashem, he should be gesund and well, and he's still a Rebbe there, and everyone knows that he knows kol haTorah kula. And what does this say Seder Hayom? He basically goes to sleep. This goes to sleep like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and he wakes up like 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's it. He goes straight from there. He sits and learns the whole night from 2 o'clock, comes to davening, gives a shiur, learns more, does what he does, and then by 8 o'clock he goes to sleep.
No night seder?
What?
No night seder?
No, he doesn't come to night seder. No, he doesn't, no, he never saw him there at night. No, he's not a night seder person. But he is, everyone knows that he's up 2 o'clock in the morning, he's learning in the quiet of night, no one bothers him. A lot of soifrim write, you know, they do their work, soifrim, they write in the middle of the night. Because no, they need concentration, quiet. I mean, you have to be able to do it. You know, you have little children. You have to go take, you know, carpool and this and that. You can't always do homework and this and that. You have to be able, you know, you have to be able to do it. 2 o'clock in the morning. They go to sleep early.
He had 5 hours. No one.
No one bothers him. Rav Moshe also said. Rav Moshe also used to also do the same thing. And then there was a guy who used to start chopping, call him up in the middle of the night. He knew he was up. So after 2 or 3 times, Rav Moshe told him, "Excuse me, this is my time. Don't call me 3 o'clock in the morning with nonsense." He didn't say it in those words, but all right, this is an incredible Maamar Chazal, and
this has been accepted in all Jewish homes because in the morning you say, "Neshuma Shai Shalom."
All right, we're going to have to we'll stop over here, take a short break. I want to learn about Parshas Zohar. This week is Parshas Zohar. Purim is on Monday night, I believe. Monday night.
You saw this, you read through the end, right?
Yes, do it tomorrow, believe it. Yeah. Correct. What do you think I plagiarized it from?
Yes.
Lior? Let me turn this off.
Why is it
Timpazet? It's
Tachasen Hashem.
Yeah, not Al Hashemayim.
No, all over. Why is it
Tachasen? What's the answer?
The question was proposed to me, and I came up with my own answer. I say Tachasen
Hashem.
What
about it? Thank you very much.
Timpazet down here, but God should always remember. Up there.
You're going up.
Amalek did something to us. Don't
forget.
Don't tip. Lotishka. What's the Lotishka hint? Right?
I don't have to think about it.
That was my
universal.
That was my answer. I don't know if it's
correct. I learned from David Amalek. I have a liar in my bed.
A liar.
Ooh. A liar or a lion. Oh my God.
It's a good thing you shut that off. So, I told my brother, I got an Aliyah in shul. Very nice. Said something about Aliyah, so my brother got to visit me, Matsoy Shabbos. I'd like a Kohen Aliyah.
A Kohen Aliyah? You're not a Kohen?
I'm a Kohen. That's the question of Aliyah. And he said, "Mafia, a question." I know. Kohen's question. Right? That's what we know, the first one.
You got it today?
This morning?
You got it.
We have 2 Kohanim. They didn't come today.
Didn't come.
I was at a bris this morning.
How he listens? We don't even know what we're saying.
I was at a bris this morning.
Is that unbelievable? And then you see this pasuk, Nachon Libi.
I was at a bris this morning. They told the kohen to walk out.
Well, that I don't like when people.
I don't like it either.
Machlokes. Some old. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch.
Rabbi Elizefi just doesn't walk out because he was the only kohen.
No, it's brought down. It's brought down. It's not. It's not so outrageous. It is brought down.
Yeah, if he wants to do it, but if you go ahead and ask.
Excuse my back, Morgan.
He's entitled, but he can walk out. It's not. It's not so unheard of.
Did not call.
My wife, the clean lady, came today, says, stop one.
My grandmother used to, when she lived with us for the last 5 years of her life. So, as soon as after Sukkot, you know, if I would be eating in the dining room or living room, you know, out of the kitchen, she would yell, Shoshainaita Vivaita. That was a line all the time.
Like when you have to get a pay, else has my sale.
That was the line in our family. My mother would say to me after she passed away, you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That's it. Which is true. As soon as Sukkot was over, it's already.
As soon as you're born, it's named.
Right, exactly. Well, you don't know if your name could be right.
This is the name.
You know, they'd say after the halfway mark. I haven't reached the halfway mark yet.
So is going to be right.
Yeah, right?
He took a walk. He gives a shear or something.
Huh?
He gives a shear and so he goes into the other room.
He said he learns himself also. Oh.
No, he's not out there.
No, he's in the base measure.
You look at the kitchen?
He goes into the base medrash usually. I mean, into the shul.
No, it's not there.
Oh, he's not there, so maybe he went to the bathroom.
That's a long time.
Who's going to the home?
At that age, that's a good bet.
Yeah, who's going to the home? But he looks like a Lila, right? He could sleep like an old man. He ran to the bathroom.
How many times?
That's right.
The truth is, the harder I work out at the gym, the better I sleep. You know?
Yeah, you're knocked out.
Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night and I have to go, but I just can't get out of bed. I can't move, and I fall asleep again. And it says that the time said, you know, if you wanted to, you can teach yourself to boy. And I see it's true. If you force yourself to go back to sleep, if you can. It's good because then your body will let you sleep longer, and it does work. There were times when I was getting up every 2 hours, literally. Now I'm up for like 3.5, you know. So I have nights where last night I only got up one time, which is good.
You got it.
Not from the gym. It's 12 minutes.
What?
What you need?
I don't take 12 minutes. No, I was not when I had a kid, so I probably take Flomax. And he said, there's nothing wrong, you know, don't worry, there's no. But when I, just after I had, the problem solved, so he said, stop taking. I said, that's what you said, but he said, stop taking. So then I said, there are always side effects. Oh, is that it? Okay. No.
I
remember when I was a teenager, I had a kid on my floor, not a frum guy, but a Jew, you know, and he was a real chubby kid. And then
you mean in your
Yeah, when I lived on the Lower East Side. Well, he slimmed down over the summer, so my mother was talking to his mother and asked, what he said he's on a candy diet. The doctor said that's all he can eat is candy bars, and he lost a lot of weight because that's it. In other words, if you stick
it fills
to
you
them,
up
that's
it. It fills you up.
No, but the point is,
you checked him out now.
That you were referring
to. No, you want to know something? You saw that there was a guy who wanted to go on and see how long he's only going to eat Big Macs.
This all actually is
not an He did it for one month when the doctor told him you were about to die.
Yeah,
which,
yeah,
you know,
three
meals a day he had a hamburger.
The
doctor said that's
I'm going to do that for all the
so outrageous.
But I want to say very good. He said,
His wife died. I didn't even know his wife died. It's up to us.
I said, it all comes down to calories.
You know Mayor Friedman?
Yes.
He had a issue with the wife.
I mean, actually, starts to pay for work, but
she
didn't like the deal until there.
All right, let's learn about Shabbos Parsha Zohar. Shabbos Parsha Zohar is coming upon us. Zohar Eis Asha Osa L'cha Amalek. Okay, let's learn about Parsha Zohar. Once a year, we all come together in shul, and we read